This podcast is a presentation of University of California Television. Like what you hear? Consider making a donation at uctv.tv/donate so we can continue to bring you more great programs.
It's great to be here. I appreciate the opportunity and see some familiar faces. Going to talk about sexual wellness in men who have prostate cancer and really can run the gamut of sexual issues that men may encounter. Erectile dysfunction, reduced libido. Many men need to have androgen deprivation therapy, which can lead to decreased libido and lower sex drive. Often men will experience a dry orgasm after therapies. Some men will experience leakage when they climax, which can be distressing, obviously. And then the morphology of the penis can also change after the various therapies that we use for prostate cancer treatment. Sexual wellness and self-identity and changes in your sexual health can lead to really, profound impacts on folks' psychological health, and it can be very core to who a guy is and how they experience and view themselves, and so it can be very impactful when changes occur. So I'm focused a lot on treatment of erectile dysfunction. What is it? It is the inability to achieve and maintain an erection firm enough to have intercourse. Cancer treatment or not, it's actually incredibly common in the population. About 1 in 5 men over 20 have it. And we typically will use the rule of thumb, 40% of 40-year-olds, 50% of 50-year-olds, 60% of 60-year-olds, 70% of 70-year-olds will have some degree of erectile dysfunction. And of course, there's a spectrum of how much someone may have. I think it's important to note that one can have an engaging and healthy sexual relations without penetrative sex, and that's something to think about. And many men who develop erectile dysfunction, whether it was related to therapy for prostate cancer or it was related to just normal aging, do this and can have gratifying sexual lives. I think one thing that is true as a person that helps treat erectile dysfunction, if the guy is motivated, we can get them to have erections in the future. That's close to 100% the case. So that's something to kind of keep in mind. If you're motivated, you're interested in having an erection, we can make it happen. I think it's important to know the things that support sexual health in general, and the things that we would advise for men really are universal, whether they've had prostate cancer therapies or not. That is to really focus on your health. So exercising, eating well, getting sleep, avoiding behaviors that lead to worse health, smoking, excessive drinking, etc. These are a couple papers that we wrote on lifestyle at UCSF. I think when a man presents for therapy, they're of course coming with a certain level of health, level of erectile function at baseline. And what's interesting to think about when you go through prostate cancer therapy, there's the therapy and its impacts on your sexual health. And then there's also sort of the natural aging that continues. And again, all of us over time, just like, I'm close to 50, my biceps not as big as it was when I was 18. All these things kind of change as we evolve with life. I think some of the really exciting things that are happening in our department really on the kind of cutting edge of doing what's called prehab. And that's this idea that we really try to work with the men before they undergo their therapy so that they can have the best chance of coming out after therapy with the best sexual wellness possible. And things that we advise are starting certain medicines, one of which Cialis, tadalafil, I'll talk a little more about, starting L-citrulline, which is a nitric oxide precursor, working with a vacuum erectile device before surgery, if they're having, depending on their baseline erectile function, seeing and getting keyed in with physical therapy, which of course helps with urinary wellness, but it can also help with sexual wellness, and then really just focusing in on their health and healthy lifestyle. So this is a slide from a clinical trial looking at radiation and prostatectomy, and really what we kind of know is at 5 years, the rates of sexual dysfunction is similar across the modalities, and you know, upfront, probably surgery is, as you can see, a little more impact. But men are counseled and should know that in that first 2 years, particularly the first year, you'll improve, you'll get your baseline 80 to 90% of the improvement that a person's going to experience after surgery happens in that first year, and then more improvement afterwards. I think one of the most important things that have come along in the last 50 years is phosphodiesterase inhibitors and really sort of miraculous drugs. They work by causing vasodilation. They're actually incredibly safe and should be employed in prehab and post-hab after therapy for prostate cancer. There's multiple formulations. The big kind of two are Viagra and Cialis, or sildenafil, tadalafil. And the distinction is that Viagra is taken on demand about 45 minutes before sex on an empty stomach, and you need to have some erotic material or your partner. You can't be watching tonight's Warriors game. Cialis, on the other hand, is one that has a sort of a longer half-life. It's a 36-hour half-life, and so it stays in your system a little longer. But they both work to do essentially the same things. The main side effects that people experience are sort of almost feels like you have a head cold, kind of a fullness in your head, headaches, facial flushing. Some guys will get a runny nose, and it can cause some GI upset in some folks. The big contraindication is if you have active chest pain and you take nitrates for that chest pain, if you take that with these medicines, it can be very dangerous because it can lower your blood pressure to dangerously low levels. But in general, if you're healthy enough to engage in sexual activity, you're healthy enough to take these medicines. If medicines aren't working, there's sort of this middle step before we get to other therapies, and that's low-intensity extracorporeal shockwave therapy. And there's also stem cell therapies. And the AUA is pretty clear that these things are really sort of experimental and should be done in the setting of a trial. The verdict's still out whether these are actually helpful, and you'll probably hear a lot of advertisements about these therapies, and unfortunately, a lot of them are being delivered by groups that are really exploitative, and it's something that's sort of taking advantage of folks. It's always all cash pay. There's no insurance coverage for this. So if you're going to do these kind of therapies, I do suggest that you enter a trial. We have a trial here that's looking at shockwave therapy. Another therapy that we use in our prehab and post-hab is the vacuum device. This helps with just maintaining the elasticity of the penis and helps retain the normal shape and size of the penis. But it can also be used for erections. Essentially, this has been around for over a century. You put your penis in the cylinder, You create a negative suction and it draws blood into the penis engorges, and then you put a ring at the base of the penis, and it should be, it often will give you a full enough erection for intercourse. I would say it's has some advantages in that it's cost effective, it's drug free, it's non-invasive. Downsides are, you know, I think it can be a little uncomfortable. It's can lead to some penile numbness, and I would say as a modality, it's probably helpful for about 20% of the people. About 20% of the people actually like it to use it to have sex. I actually use this device in my practice commonly for, again, helping guys maintain size, and then if we're going to do a penile prosthesis, this is a very important part of that treatment paradigm. Another thing that is kind of the next step up, if you fail the pills, the next step up is shots. And it might sound horrific, but you take a teeny little diabetic needle and you give yourself a shot right in the penis, hold pressure for about 5 minutes. Actually works incredibly well. And you know, hundreds of thousands of guys do this. It's typically done by ordering it through a compounding pharmacy that's then mailed to your house. Come into the clinic, we teach you how to do it, and then we set you up with the medicine. But it works very well. I think it works sometimes too well, so you have to be very cautious with how you dose escalate or titrate the dose to be right for you. Because if you give yourself too much, it can result in what's called a priapism, which is basically an erection that lasts greater than 4 hours. And that is a problem because it doesn't allow oxygenated blood into the penis, and so you have to go to the hospital in the ER right away if that happens. For some guys, they don't like it because it hurts. Some guys don't like needles. It can, over time, lead to some scar tissue in the penis cylinders, and sometimes guys can get bruising or what's called a hematoma, a little blood collection. So if a guy doesn't like needles, they're not responsive to this medicine, the sort of the option that will always get someone an erection is the penile implant. And penile implant is, it's been around for 30 years with various modifications and improvements. I think there's a lot of great things about it, and there's some not so great things about it. The great things about it is an erection whenever you want it, for as long as you want it. And your skin sensation is going to be the same. However your penis feels before surgery, it'll be how it feels after. It's about a 90-minute surgery, and you go home the same day. The downsides are, the biggest one is that your penis is going to be a little shorter than it was in your prime. Obviously, many men are very interested in having the longest penis possible. Who knew? Working with a vacuum, I've never heard that one in clinic before. Working with a vacuum helps guys retain their size and maintain their size. There's also about a 1-2% infection rate with these, and we do a lot of different things to protect guys from infections. These are usually periprocedural infections, and it results in us having to take the implant out, and it's not a good thing. But we do a lot of things to protect guys from that. And then it is a surgery, so there's going to be some pain and suffering associated with it. But in general, you know, actually guys are very, very happy with these, and so are their partners. And so, like I said, I think typically do a stepwise approach, typically also focus on prehab and post-therapy protocols that help enhance and get guys in a good place. But if a guy is interested in getting an erection, there's absolutely opportunity to make that happen. And that's all I got. Thank you.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.